More of Lake Effect now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. The city's most famous sports playing surface is on the move again. The Milwaukee Bucks court from the 1970s and 80s, designed by pop artist Robert Indiana, is for sale years after it was used in the arena formerly known as Mecca.
You might remember the story of its return from obscurity. A local group bought the floor a couple of years ago and, after a gala display in its former home, turned it into an art exhibit. Thousands of people saw it displayed at Milwaukee City Hall and in other places. But the court still doesn't have a permanent home.
This week, its owner, Ben Kohler, who founded the Our Mecca group, announced it is time for a more permanent solution to the question of what to do with the floor, and so he's listed it for sale. Ben Kohler joins us now. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be here.
Why are you passing the torch right now?
I've come to a point in my life where, you know, I'm just going in a different direction. This summer I had a chance to experience the world of farming and urban agriculture, which has been in my blood. My uncle was a sheep farmer, and prior to that, my dad was an apprentice for a world-renowned soil scientist. Actually, that was his retirement dream, was to move to Hawaii. We had a farm in Hawaii, and his dream was to build really bodacious soil and help heal the planet. So it's in my blood, and it's been something that I was very interested in when I was living in Los Angeles and Hawaii prior to moving back to Milwaukee. And taking a break from the Mecca project this summer allowed me the chance to work with some really amazing folks. Milwaukee is really filled with awesome urban agriculturalists and soil people, and I just really got my hands dirty and got a chance to work with my head, my hands, and my heart simultaneously, and I got the bug, and that's the direction that I'm going with my life.
And so you don't say farming and owning this historic court are maybe mutually exclusive, or do they just not lend themselves to the amount of time you would want to spend with either?
I think time is a big part of it as well, because, you know, the Mecca floor is, I liken it to like the damsel in distress that's locked in the tower, this beautiful, amazing, historical work of art and sports memorabilia that, you know, needs that knight in shining armor to continuously fight to have it released and being able to be appreciated. So it's not a thing where I feel that I can no longer handle the project. It's a thing where I no longer choose to be the lead of the project. And I respect the piece enough to know that it deserves a permanent public resting place. And that should happen really soon because, you know, it's been in this state of limbo since 1989. And I mean, I feel like we've done, my team and I have done so many incredible things to try to rebirth it with the New York Times article, with the ESPN movie, and just with the different things that we've done around the city. So it's just at that point where I guess it's the knight with the white horse that needs to swoop in and just swoop it off its feet. That's basically where I stand with it.
Do you feel like it's at least out of imminent danger now that you've called this attention to it over the past couple of years?
Oh, most definitely. There's an extreme amount of interest in the Mecca floor internationally and nationally. I've been throughout my years, turning down interest in it for new ownership. Because at the time I was leading the charge and I felt fully capable to do that. So I feel that the efforts that we've put forward, the people that we've brought together, the light that we've shined on it, we've again rebirthed it. I mean, at least as me being the owner of the floor right now, I have a level of respect and I hold a level of integrity for the piece that I wouldn't just, you know, sell it to any buyer that, you know, comes up with the highest offer. It's not that type of transaction. It's something that's very premeditated and it's something that's very appreciated and it will be respected with that level of integrity as we move forward with the sale of the floor.
Well, and so that's my question to you is, how are you going to evaluate the various offers? What kind of legacy do you want this to keep up?
At the end of the day, you know, Robert Indiana, who has become a friend and a mentor and was the guy that really kicked me in the pants and said, get your butt back to Milwaukee and do something with this floor in my lifetime. He finally expressed to me, because in the beginning he was like, oh, Ben, you own it. Do what you want with it. You know, I'll support you. You know, and I kind of went off on a couple crazy tangents with sculptures and things like that. And Robert finally said, look, Ben, I designed the Mecca floor to be, you know, viewed as a work of art from above and to be played and used on below. So my preference is that it's displayed intact and displayed as a usable surface that can be viewed and protected. And at that time when he told me that, it was like, well, Robert, you know, if I had a wand, I would do that. But how do you expect me to preserve a priceless work of art and still allow people to walk on it and play on it? And that really was my last challenge in the project. And that's when I went on a very, very deep research mission and actually found a company in Germany called ASB Glass Floors that does they design translucent and texturized glass surfaces that they're called the company with the floor of the future. So I went to ASB Glass Floors and their lead engineer, this guy named Christoph, and I said, look, man, I have this work of art. It's this basketball floor. We need to preserve it. Would you guys be willing to design something new to do that? And he said they were very interested. They spent about a couple weeks on the project of like thinking it through, and they finally came up with a solution, which was to encase the floor in transparent texturized glass that can be LED lit. It's all weather, so it can go indoor or outdoor. It's texturized, so you can play on it. And it's also rated by FIBA, which is the International Basketball Association of the world, to be able to have international and professional games played on the floor. So technically, if there was a buyer that had a new arena going up or a park by the lake, I mean, this is something that could be viewed as a work of art, protected as a work of art, but also it could be played on, danced on, walked on, laid on, had lunch on. I mean, like it can be a usable surface again. And it can, I get excited because there's technology out there that we, again, would be first in the world with. I mean, we're the first in the world to have an all-painted basketball floor. We're the first in the world to have the world's largest pop art painting. And now with this solution with ASB Glass 4s, we potentially could have, you know, new technology that'll probably eventually be something that's very prevalent in the world.
You mentioned the concept of a buyer with a potential new arena going up or a park by the lake. These are possibilities in this very city. Is it too much to expect that the buyer that comes in and eventually buys this floor is going to be local?
The word that I use is preference, because I don't have a crystal ball in front of me. But my preference is that the floor would stay in Milwaukee and it would be part of a large-scale public development. And if you look at what's going on in the city right now, there's, you know, a handful of large-scale public developments that could potentially, with this ASB glass encasement, really do something creative, really do something out of the box, and really make some noise. I mean, you can if you could just allow yourself to get out of the box and imagine what it would feel like to be able to walk on the Mecca floor encased in glass, lit up by LED lights at night. I mean, like, come on. We're talking about something that's not just going to be cool for the city of Milwaukee. That's going to be cool for the world, at least in my perspective. And I'm a little biased, but also I am a Milwaukeean. I do care about our culture. I do care about creating a world-class city. And, you know, I'm committed to at least entertaining serious, you know, potential buyers that really have a vision.
This is a one-of-a-kind piece. There is not another basketball court like this in the world.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how much it's worth?
I spent a year, my team and I spent a year having conversations with some very, very well-versed people in the worlds of fine art, iconic sports memorabilia, and also historical artifacts. And through our research and our conversations, you know, we feel that we have a very, very clear idea of what the value is and definitely what the significance is. I mean, this is the world's largest pop art painting. It is the most iconic basketball floor still in existence, and it is a historical artifact because this was the first time really on a professional level and a collegiate level that art and sports were married and unified in a way that was beautiful and inspiring and that actually had meaning to it. So I'm very aware of what the value is, and you know, we are looking for buyers that are serious and that are willing to have a serious conversation about art, sports, and civic history.
And I will respectfully point out that there was no number attached to what you just said.
Yes, there's no number attached. I mean, if people are interested, you know, they can reach out to my counsel, Dan Katman, with Reinhardt Law. They can also find more information at meccafloor.com. And, you know, if you're serious and you have vision and you have some ideas, we're definitely willing to have, you know, a conversation.
At the end of the day, this must have been a pretty amazing couple of years of your life.
Oh, man. You know, the words that come to my mouth are like my dad used to always say to me, like, when anything happens to you in life, whether it's good or bad, the first two words out of your mouth should be thank you. Because experience is a teacher, experience is an adventure, and experience is what it means to be human. So the people that I've met, the journey that I've been on, the adventurous, crazy conversations and all of that is part of the tapestry that's known as my life. And I'm completely 100% grateful for every person that has supported me and has lifted me up and made me bigger than I could ever have been by myself. So, I mean, really, that truly comes from the heart, Mitch. That's something that I deeply feel a sense of reverence for. And I know deep within that everything will unfold as it should, and we'll all be able to look back on this experience known as the Mecca Floor as something that was an incredible journey and that will continue to be an incredible journey as we move forward.
Do you know what the next step is for you? How are you going to get into the urban ag movement?
Well, right now I have a project called the Heart House, which is an urban farm, bed and breakfast and community center that I built over the summer with a couple of really, really incredible people, James Godsell, Jesse Blum, Miguel Castro, and a couple other really, really interesting people. And so we've had a great response. We've had over 1,200 visitors to the house for classes and tours, and over 250 students come and take part. And we've had international guests from all over the world. So it's a concept that I'm very interested in. And I'm a community organizer. I'm into healing the community and harmonizing us as not only Milwaukeeans, but, you know, citizens of the world.
Well, it sounds like an exciting second half for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and best of luck.
Thanks, Mitch.
Ben Kohler is the founder of the Our Mecca Group and current owner of the Robert Indiana Design Basketball Court used by the Milwaukee Bucks in the 1970s and 80s. He's listed the court for sale, and you can learn more from WUWM.com.